Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning? High five. Okay, James, right here. I'm gonna ask you something first, and then I'm gonna ask here again in just a little bit. Okay, can you tell me what a pack of lions is called?
Pride.
Pride. That's right. Okay. So go sit down. I'm gonna ask you again here in just a minute. Okay. Thank you, buddy. So, thank you all for joining us this morning, and if you're joining us online, thank you as well, and I kind of wanted to just reiterate and follow up on just thank you all for the prayers for our family, and the prayers that we've gotten, and all the love and support we've gotten, and for Tana, and in this past procedure, she had that stent removed from her liver duct, and I've been telling everybody it's been like a night and day difference. It's been like a light switch turned on in her spirit, and so she's been getting out and getting active, and it's just encouraging to see. And so last Saturday we had Clyde's first soccer game, and this past yesterday had a second soccer game, and I'm not going to go into detail because 3 and 4 year old soccer is very difficult. I won't go into detail there, but it's just encouraging to see her out and running up and down the field with him, and it's just really encouraging. So it's been a true blessing, and without prayer, we wouldn't be here like this, right? And without prayer and all the love and support, it wouldn't go that way, and so I really do appreciate that. And so while we were going through this second procedure, it kind of made me start thinking about times in my life that, you know, Tana had this stent removed and we got immediate results. And there's times in my life where I think back and I think of times that I prayed and didn't receive immediate results. And just like in Debbie's youth or the children's sermon, sometimes God has his own timing and we have to have perseverance, right? And so I kind of thought about this and thought, you know, well, why doesn't God work that way, right? Why doesn't God work like the light switch when we ask for a prayer? And why doesn't he remove some of that pain and that sorrow? And so I got really encouraged because I found a scripture from Paul, the Apostle Paul, and I think it gives us the answer. So we're going to start off reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 1 through 10, if you'll stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word. And so, verse 1, it's going to start off and it's going to say, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago caught up to the third heaven, or was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the very many blessings that you've given us, dear God. I pray that you just let your words flow through me, and you let this message resonate in the hearts of our church and our congregation. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And before I go on and go into detail about this scripture, I wanted to give some background on 2 Corinthians and some background on Paul. And so 2 Corinthians was written in approximately 55 AD by the Apostle Paul, and its purpose was to be an instructional and encouraging book of letters that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. In addition to 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul was attributed for 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. So Paul played a huge role in the expansion of Christianity. And many of the books were developed from letters like this that Paul had wrote to different churches. So in the first few chapters of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about God's comfort, persevering in godliness, and then he transitions to a charge for the Corinthians. But when you get to the 10th chapter, and I don't have this up, but when you get to the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul kind of goes into a defensive position about his ministry. And so the first verse in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians says, "By the humility of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away." Now, wait a minute. I think I heard Gerald say back in his days, those were fighting words, right? You're going to be bold when you're not in front of me, but you're going to be able to say whatever you want behind my back, right? And so Paul is getting this criticism from this minority and saying that, okay, you can write these powerful letters, but why aren't you coming and doing this in person? And that's what this criticism is, and that's what he is trying to address here. And so the way this is worded in the scripture is unique also, because this is one of the only times, and it's not the only time, one of the only times, that air quotes are vividly used. And so have y'all ever been in an argument with a loved one and you got the air quote thrown at you? It may sound something like this: "Oh, you had a headache. That's why the dishes haven't been done in 2 weeks." Okay. Yep. And so, as you can tell, I've heard this. So that's my excuse, by the way. But, you know, Paul is using these air quotes in this letter. "Oh, I'm timid to face, but I'm bold when I'm away." And this may not have a whole ton of significance, but the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm trying to depict Paul's human nature. Because we have this great apostle who has written half of the books in the New Testament, or is attributed to most of the books in the New Testament, but he still has this human nature to him about what these people may be saying. And so you too may feel like people are talking about you. You may feel like there are insecurities in your life that you may be judged on. You may feel like public opinion is not what you would like it to be. And the reason I reference this instance in chapter 10 in relation to chapter 12 is Paul later in chapter 12 and verse 7 talks about a vulnerability he has. He talks about something in his life. He doesn't go into detail. If you go further on reading in 2 Corinthians and other places that Paul wrote in the Bible, he doesn't go into detail about this thorn that he has. He says, "I have a thorn in my flesh, and this thorn is a messenger from Satan to torment me." And since it doesn't specifically depict this, I'm glad that it doesn't, because this could be an ailment, it could be a family issue, it could be people talking about him. I really don't know. But Paul describes it as a messenger to torment him. And I'm led to believe that Paul could possibly be referring to the criticism he is receiving. But whether Paul is referring to the criticism or something else, I'm glad Paul does this, because he shows us that you can be so close to God and still have these human faults and still have these human weaknesses. And it talks about how he does what a lot of us do in verse 8. He says, "I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." He even details it by saying, "I pled with the Lord 3 times. I begged him multiple times to take this away from me." And I feel like there may be some of us who have had this, had a similar affliction that we've prayed to be removed. And we've prayed that we would get a light bulb or a light switch result, and we've prayed that it would simply go on to pass and that we could be relieved of this pain. And I think that God has an odd way of not removing this from our lives. And I've got some examples to show you about this. And so, you see, Paul talks about boasting. I'm going to go back to the first set of scriptures. He talks about boasting here. And verses 1 through 6, he talks about these visions that he's had. And he's talked about how he's talking of himself here, he's been called up to this third heaven. And he's seen this paradise. And all of these things that the Lord has shown him and all of this that he's seen, he's saying, I want to boast about something like that, but I can't boast about myself because it's not me who showed myself all of this. It's God who showed me all of this. And he's saying, so I can't boast about me specifically, but I can boast about my weaknesses. And that last part is interesting because he describes this thorn as a torment, and then he says, before that, he can boast about it. So it's hard to understand, why are we going to be boasting about a weakness? But Paul describes this in verse 7 before he goes into description on the thorn. He says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited. So contrarily, he talks about how he wants to boast about what the Lord is giving him, but he does not need to be conceited. And the reason he cannot become conceited is because this thorn, this weakness, is holding him back. And so he can boast about the power of God, but he can't boast about himself because he has this weakness. And I feel like this weakness that he has been placed on him almost on purpose. And the Lord tells him this. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And that's going to be there in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, sometimes God doesn't give us immediate relief, but instead gives us something better. He gives us grace and perseverance to make it through. The reason God can do this is because he uses what the enemy meant for torment, and he uses it for transformation. And I think that's where we get confused sometimes, that we think that the enemy is sending these afflictions, and we think that the enemy is sending us this torment and this pain, when God needs us grounded, and we need this weakness so that we have faith in him to be able to get through it. And so have you ever felt like your faith can sometimes be like a roller coaster? You know, sometimes everything is going just fine and you don't really, you find yourself, okay, maybe I don't have to pray as much. You know, your faith is a little lower then because everything's going great. And then all of a sudden tragedy strikes and you feel like you have to pray every 5 seconds to make it through the day. And so these weaknesses that we have, or this thorn that Paul is talking about, kind of keeps us level. It keeps us in between so that we are required to have faith in God. And so think of it like this. Your faith is a boat out on the open ocean. Your faith is keeping you afloat, but it alone does not take you where you need to be. Now think of your weakness as a sail on the boat, and God is the wind. God is using your weakness to guide and direct you where your faith needs to be. And I'm also encouraged by God's consistency here with this message, because we are inconsistent in our faith, just like I said with the roller coaster analogy. We're very inconsistent, and that causes us to mess up. But God is the same yesterday, today, and the same he will be forever. And the reason I know this is because God gives a similar message to Moses and the Israelites as the promised people have escaped Egypt. Escaped Egypt and are seeking direction. So in the Old Testament, he gives us a similar example. And I want to read that to you. It's from Exodus chapter 23. And this is verses 20 through 30. It says, see, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion. Since my name is in him, if you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy of your enemies. I will oppose who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces and worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness among you. None will miscarry or bear in the land. I will give you a full lifespan. And so I want to pause here before getting to the next part, because I'm not to the example yet. But this part of the scripture is kind of like Paul's part where he's boasting, right? We can be encouraged by this. God's going to go before us. He's going to send an angel before us, and he's going to wipe out these enemies, right? We can be encouraged here. But that isn't the example that I'm trying to set. It's how God says he is going to remove the enemies. He says, I will send my terror, in verse 27 following on, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way, but I will not drive them out in a single year. Because the land would become so desolate, the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. You see, God gives Moses the same exact answer. He can't remove the enemies immediately from the land. The reason he can't remove the enemies immediately from the land is because these wild beasts that he talks about. So I heard a sermon on this, and the historians kind of tell of a certain wild beast that was in the Canaanite land at this time in the Old Testament. So James, are you still there? So one of these wild beasts is the lion. So, James, again, can you tell everybody what is a pack of lions called?
Pride.
Pride, that's right. So, can it be true? You can go ahead and sit down. Thank you, buddy. So, can it be true that if the lions become too numerous, the pride becomes too numerous for you? And so, can it be true that God cannot remove our enemies from our land so that our pride does not overcome us? And can it be true that God cannot remove this thorn or these problems so that we would boast about them, or that we would boast about ourselves? Is it true that these enemies and these thorns can't be removed because they're there for a purpose? They're there for us to endure and to have faith. So we have to understand that we have to be thankful not only for our blessings, but we have to be thankful for the thorns and the problems and the enemies that we have, because these things prevent us ultimately from pride, and they ultimately protect us from ourselves. Without these things, we would not need faith, and the wild beast would overcome us. Church, will you please stand with me? Paul said in chapter 12, verse 10, I delight in weakness, in insults and in hardships, in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. You too may have a thorn this morning. You may have a problem that you've been dealing with your whole life. It may be an insecurity, an addiction, a health issue, a family issue. I don't know. Just like Paul's thorn. I don't know what it is. But I want you to know that you can take strength and have faith that God has it for a reason, and it's to keep our faith in him, and it's to keep a need and a want and a desire for Him in our lives. Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank You for this day, and I thank You for the very many blessings that You've given us, dear God. I pray that You just let this message resonate in our hearts that You can't send out all of our enemies all at once. You can't send out these thorns, and we can't have a light switch reaction and just be relieved, dear God. We have to have this faith grown in us little by little to take possession of the land. We have to have this faith grown little by little through these things that we feel like are a torment but are actually there for our benefit and our own protection from pride. I ask that You let this message resonate in our hearts, and if anyone is needing to come forward, I pray that You give them the courage to do so. I ask all these things in Your name. Amen.